Ladies and gentlemen, good people and the bad people, it's up to you to decide which way you want to go. It is your boy Cool McCain, back for another week alongside my guy, the other half of the Monarchs. Playmaker, what's going on, Playmaker?
Not much, man, not much. How you want to start this off, man? Because I know you've been going through it.
First, I want to shout out Mr. Cole Johnson for hopping on last week. I had some things going on that kind of stopped me from being able to be fully on last week. I was able to slide in for the last part of the show through audio, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to get everything together to get on video and all that. But it's all good. We back in the building this week. So we got a couple of things I definitely want to cover today. We've been lacking on the TNA AEW a little bit because WrestleMania, right? Be 100% honest with y'all. And y'all let me know in the comments if you disagree. I don't feel like it's been a lot really going on with TNA. A couple of things. I'm not saying nothing, but not a lot. AEW, a couple of things happen, right? We'll talk about some of that. But our first match, I just want to take a second. I had a good friend and a mentor pass away, one Mr. Chris Bass, last week. And some of you may have saw my post, but he meant a lot to me because he helped me find my voice, right? And if you don't have your voice, you're never going to be successful in anything to do with, you know, talking and just personality and being yourself. And people not only listening for your content, but listening for you and how you're, you know, doing things. So he's very instrumental in that, man. Definitely a mentor to me. Big brother, you know, a guy that I love that man, man. He could talk to you about anything, right? Politics, sports, religion, anything. And, you know, when you have someone like that and you can see them in action and you can not only learn by listening, but learn by just being around, just watching. I think it means a lot. And there's so much I can say, but we only have so long for the show. So I just simply say, man, I appreciate you, you know, Big Bro Bass, everything you brought to the table. You know, thankfully, we do have YouTube and Facebook. So I always can go back and watch things that you did and, you know, get some motivation from that, man. But you're greatly missed. And anyone to know you, I believe, would miss you. And if you didn't know him, I'm sorry you missed one of the geniuses of broadcast. Well, rest heavy, my boy. I appreciate you, man, and wish you were still here, but I'm going to see you again one day. Pretty much all I got to say on the emotional side. So, where I would like to start, I'm going to tell you where I would like to start. Right here. That's where I want to start. Some people may not be tuned in yet, but guess what?
Wow. Start with the biggest headline first, huh?
I cannot hold it. We have to start here.
All right, then. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you been paying attention to your socials, you have been informed that WWE made a round of releases. As you can see on the screen, if you, you're watching us on the Rear Play Callers YouTube channel and the Playmakers Network YouTube channel, you got Andre Chase, Apple Fire, Zoe Starks, Aleister Black, Zelina Vega, Santos Escobar, Apollo Crews, the entire YSS, Bo Dallas, aka Uncle Howdy, Joe Gates, Eric Rowan, Dexter Loomis, and Nikki Cross, the Motor City Machine Gun, Alice Shelley, Chris Sabin. But the name that has everybody fired up is one at the top of that list. One Kairi Sane. I think this is where I will be in the background, and y'all get to listen to somebody.
So I'm going to save my thoughts on the on the what would be, I think, the right-hand column with the YS6 and Motor City Machine Guns to later on in the show. But I am going to give my thoughts on the what should be the left-hand side, starting with Kairi Sane. So let me start it like this. Andre Chase, okay. We're not really pressed by the release of Andre Chase. And these are the main roster, mainly people released. There's a couple of other people released, and there's one of those people that has everyone in the uproar as well. I'm going to find her name here while we're doing the show, and I'll talk about that too. So Andre Chase, yeah, I don't even know why he was still there, to be completely honest. Alba Fire, how do you get rid of Alba Fire and not Chelsea Green when she was working for Chelsea Green? Just my thought. Zoe Starks, didn't even know she was still with WWE. I know she had an injury and then didn't have anything for her when she was healthy, or she was got hurt again, or a couple of conflicting stories about her. But at the end, Zoe Starks didn't really make a mark. Aleister Black and Zelina Vega, I mean, honestly, they just took the place of Karrion Kross and Scarlett. And that whole storyline didn't have a long shelf anyway. Santos Escobar, don't even know why you re-signed him when you know you didn't really want him. I guess because of the work he does in AAA. But not too much surprised by it. But there's actually two names that piss me off on this list right here. The top one and the bottom one. Let's start with the bottom one. We're going to go in order of importance to most people. You might say, well, cool. Why does Apollo Crews piss you off? So I'm a huge proponent, especially for my wrestlers of color, getting a real opportunity. When did that happen for Apollo Crews? It never happened for Apollo Crews. You know why it never happened for Apollo Crews? Because Paul never cared about Apollo Crews. Yeah, my voice is back today. So I'm feeling a little ticked off. And I don't understand why you don't give a guy UHA Nation and the independents, big following, great wrestler, has everything you want. You don't really give him a chance. You don't really give him a good storyline. Why didn't you put him in the Hurt Business? Why didn't you let him have some real runs with Intercontinental Championship and at least have some opportunities to challenge for the WWE Championship at least once, being a tag team champion? Nothing. Couple of runs with the United States Championship is about all this man got, I believe, it was the United States Championship. And what I would like to happen with Apollo is I'd like for Apollo to stick it to Paul by going somewhere else and showing who he really is. I would probably say AEW just based on the partnership with TNA. It doesn't really seem like you can go to TNA too much and kind of stick it to Vince anymore, or excuse me. No, that wasn't really a slip. It was a low-key shot. But Paul and his Vince-like tendencies with certain people are not pleasing. And, you know, a guy that hangs around, a guy that's been a good, what they call a good hand for a long time, a guy that's done everything that's been asked of him, shows up on TV when you need somebody in a group of four or five to get beat down by somebody. All the talent in the world. You didn't even say, you know what, we'll send you back to NXT, repackage you, whatever. No, we're just going to let you go. We're going to let go of a good, solid talent that brings in money of color that we can throw in a tag team, veteran, professional. We're just going to release him. Why? Because I'm Paul and I can. That's why. And I'm not saying these decisions are completely on Paul, because at the end of the day, now that TKO owns WWE, it's a business. And that was a problem with TKO buying the company. It's a business now. They don't see this as individuals. They don't see this as guys and what they can bring. They see this as a business and a business owner. That's a problem, in case you weren't aware. WWE is not just a business. WWE is a company. It's a way of life for a lot of people. There are people who, you know, take this very seriously. Let's just say that. And the way that Paul and TKO has handled this is really garbage. I'm not going to get too much into that, but I just want people to understand, like, they did that man wrong. Apollo Crews was done wrong since he entered WWE main roster. They did that man wrong. And then to release him on top of that. Now, we're going to change the tone here a little bit. Paul TKO, what in the fudge is wrong with y'all? How in all God's green earth did you release Kyrie Sane in the middle of the storyline, her being the best we've seen Kyrie Sane be? And you're going to release her in the middle of one of the main storylines in the women's division, and you release the pivotal character. Because this whole thing was supposed to be leading to, is Kyrie going to actually finally leave Asuka, go on her own and do her thing? Or is she going to stay Asuka's lackey? And if she does turn on Asuka with Io Sky, what's she going to do? And you had nerve to just release her? This is a story you've been telling for what? Since Bayley was part of Damage Control. Since they were Damage Control, you've been starting this story. Instead of finishing it, we're just going to release one of the main players of this part of the story. That's why people trash WWE. That's why athletes, that's why fans, that's why the people that live in their mom's basement at 30 plus years old, this is why they have legs to stand on when they attack WWE. You don't have anything better to do with your life than release people who matter and keep people who don't matter. I could give you a list of people. I'm not going to. But I could give you a list of people that just should have been released before Kyrie Sane. And I'm sure at least a couple on that list would equal her salary. So what are you going to do with the storyline now? What are you going to do with the storyline now? Paul, the one y'all been pushing for over a year, Paul. What are you going to do, Paul? What about Kyrie? Huh? Great idea. This is what you get when you get guys together. They have some great ideas, and they think they know everything. They think they have all the ideas. Now, what do we have? Io Sky and Asuka. Are they going to get back together and be buddy-buddy? Are they going to have one-on-one fights? What are they going to do? Nobody gives a flip now. And that's all thanks to Paul and the rest of the creative team. So congratulations in taking one of the only really good storylines that you had and destroying it. Again, that's why so many people actually watch the program get pissed off at the program. Wonderful. I'm going to keep it cool now because it's still another one coming. So I'm going to keep it cool for now. That's all I got to say about that.
You released Kyrie Sane when everybody's looking forward to seeing how this plays out. Could have did it at WrestleMania, but you didn't want to add Asher Mesh to the card. You know, you got Backlash coming up, and we saw the segment with Io Sky and Rhea Ripley parting ways. And we knew you did a video package with Asuka and Kyrie talking about Io. So that's pretty much the last we get to see of Kyrie, a video package. Talking about, oh, and by the way, who won that match, by the way, between Kyrie and Io? That's right, Kyrie won.
That was a goodbye present, apparently.
And you released her.
Pieces of trash. Not one piece, pieces of trash.
So, yeah, I already know what's happening. So, it happened when you tried to screw Cody at WrestleMania 40. It happened when you did it with R-Truth. And so you already know what's happening when it comes to Kyrie. So how long is it going to take you, Paul, to bring Kyrie back? That's my only question.
Do they have sense enough to bring Kyrie back?
Sense enough? Oh, you know, they already started. People are already coming in droves.
But even if they do come in droves, do they have sense enough to bring her back?
They did it with R-Truth, so
they did do it with R-Truth, but this is R-Truth.
They can do it with Kyrie.
They can, but do they have sense enough? That's the question I'm asking.
Paul would have sense enough to bring back Kyrie. If the question is, how long would it take?
We'll see. I think you're giving Paul way too much credit for having sense. Me personally.
They bring it back. I'll put it like this. It's one of those, it's not if, but when. Because he liked to say they listened to the WWE Universe, and in past experience, they have listened to the WWE Universe when they try to do some things and they reverse world. So the question is, how long is it going to take?
Do they always listen, though? They don't always listen.
In this situation, they do, for the most part. Now, the other stuff, the creative stuff, yeah, I'm with you.
Like I say, man, I just don't want people to be too disappointed when they do what they do.
Oh, no. We putting Paul on the clock here. How long are you going to wait?
I hear you. I hear you.
I'm gonna keep it light. I'm gonna keep it right there because there's some more still could be coming down the pipe that I've been hearing about. And if it does come down the pipe, y'all thought what Koo did was going on. Koo might not be on the show next time if this comes off. Koo might not even be on the show for this.
No comment on that. So we are going to revisit the second half of this later. We're going to revisit that. But I wanted to go ahead and get that started. Not pleased with two of those names. And then the whole other side I'm not pleased with. So that's why I said we just need to come back to that. Because we got to talk about the other side. And that's going to be for later in the show. Once everyone taps in. Because I know people slide in at different times or whatnot. I want everybody here to hear that piece as much as possible. So we're going to wait on that one. So, my boy, anything from the world of NXT that you would like to discuss?
Unfortunately, yes. I forget it was week two of NXT Vengeance. Mm-hmm. Or Revenge. Well, Dion Lewis came up short against Miles Bourne for the North American title. Unfortunately, another member of Dark State would get an opportunity at Miles Bourne in the North American Championship. Why?
That was wild.
Anything you want to add?
You know, Dark State doesn't have leaders, right? Dark State doesn't have leaders, right? That's why somebody got mad, because he said, if Dark State ain't got leaders, I'm going to take this shot.
Well, WWE decided to send Joe Hendry out in a very peculiar way. So we gonna have a referee stoppage between him and Mr. Carver. I will say, though, Mr. Carlos seemed like he has a different tone to himself all of a sudden. Kind of like it. The low tone. Yeah, I need Mr. Carlos to continue on that path. Because when you have that low tone and being as big as you is and seeing the damage that you can do, that's more scary than you talking all big and loud. The nice slow down tone, that's more scarier. Do you agree? So Joe Hendry, we'll see you on Raw tonight for a stupid concert, which is only going to be interrupted by who knows who. You know, somebody going to interrupt and it's going to be a whole thing. Why do they keep doing concerts? Like, there's really no point of a concert.
Interesting. Well, that's a Joe Hendry thing. Maybe they'll give him the Rock treatment and won't nobody come out and bother.
If I was a betting man. Somebody's coming out. All right. There's a brother of ours in the chat, and I'm only doing this because I know how you, sir, my brother, feel about a certain title. So, matter of fact, give me a solo shot real quick. Lessis King is your new speed champion. Yay. Let me take him back. You muted. You muted.
Boo, it's still a championship. WWE suffered for that.
That's why I did that.
El Juggalo says, whoop, whoop. What's up, El Juggalo? And we got, I ain't been able to say this in a long time, but guess what? We got Vicola in the chat. What's going on, Vic? Rod says, what's up, fellas?
What's going on, Rod?
And Benny Boone says, what's good, fellas? What's up, Benny Boone? Hey, we in the building today, y'all. We talking. So, anything else from NXT, sir?
You know, my girl got put in the casket, man. My girl got put in the casket, bro.
Yes, she did.
That's why you try not to laugh hard. All good.
Yes, she did.
Black Mirror got put in the casket thanks to Tatum Paxley for the Women's North American Championship.
And she'll get resurrected on SmackDown. So don't let it hurt you that much, sir.
Why gotta be SmackDown? Go to Raw. I already got enough.
She
doesn't
make the decision.
I know she does it, but I already have enough loves on the world. I mean, on SmackDown, I need some on Raw.
Well, next time it happens, you make sure you reach out and let your boy Paul know that.
So, Easy Dane has thrown her name to be the number one contender for the Women's NXT Championship because she decided to lay out the champ. That kind of sucks. I don't know. Easy Dane is like not hitting it for me though. Is she hitting it for you? She's not hitting it for me. I don't know. Something's this off with Easy to me. I don't know what it is.
She doesn't have it. That's what's off with you, sir.
That might be what it is.
She doesn't have it. That's what it is. She doesn't have it. She doesn't make you care about her. I'm not here to whatever, but I'm just keeping it real. Izzy Day is just whatever it is. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know who don't have it, and she doesn't have it. And they're going to try to keep pushing her, but she doesn't have it.
Hey, I like the way you're keeping that button up, that comment up there. Please remember to hit the button, people. Please remember to hit the button.
You already know, sir. Sometimes you just slide it up there. Sometimes you slide it up there. Please remember to hit that like button. Yes, sir.
And finally, Zarya finally beat Soruka, but we already knew because she was at Raw the night after WrestleMania. That's the call up.
That's the goodbye match for sure. You know, it was crazy. I don't recall and help me if I'm forgetting something. I don't recall many times where this happens and the person going up wins.
That's the reason why Jabron Evans didn't get hit, didn't win the NFC Championship. Because he ended up getting called up the Raw, but he still had the title match to deal with, to do.
The only person is Obafemi.
And Oscar.
Because he won the latest championship in the ring.
Matter of fact, and Oscar, because Oscar went into the main roster undefeated.
Okay, and Oscar. Okay. That's why I said help me remember somebody if I'm forgetting, because it's been a long time, but I'm gonna feel comfortable saying 99% of the time, if you moving up, you catching a big fat L on that last opportunity. Well, time.
So Ruka definitely caught a big fat L.
Well, Ruka got destroyed. That's what happened to him.
I was waiting for updates saying somebody is saying that they were gonna say that she's injured or something, but I ain't hear nothing in a week. So I'm like, okay, she might be injured. Yeah, she ain't go through that table the proper way.
She must have went through at least the best way.
Well, they had two tables set up. She went through one and her head hit the other one.
Yeah, I saw.
I was like, is she good? Is she all right? But nothing came out, so I'm guessing she's good. And that's NXT Vengeance.
All right. So we're going to hit a quick commercial break, y'all. Back in the building right after this. And we're going to be talking some AEW. If y'all have anything y'all want to add in the comments, feel free. Feel free. That's what we're here for.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man, Cool McCain, and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets.
Everything Boston. I love you, you morons. You kids on the block, New Edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Rams fans all around the world.
It's a beautiful thing to be a Rams fan right now. Stafford's back. We're going to see about Cup. And running back Kerryon Williams to return.
Lend me your ears. Or should I say, lend Playmaker your ears as he breaks down week by week everything in the Los Angeles Rams canon.
Number 99, Aaron Donald. Can't wait for 2029 to come to know that you are going in the Hall of Fame and it should be first ballot, no questions asked.
Join the Playmaker as he breaks down everything Los Angeles Rams style in Ramily Talk on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts.
All right, good people. We are back in the building. Time to talk a little good old, I said AEW. We didn't go over TNA. My bad, y'all. I'm tripping here.
So you TNA, actually found something to talk about for TNA?
A little bit. We'll go over some results here. So only thing I want to talk about from last week is the ongoing resurrection of Allie. It has been completed. It was completed a couple of weeks ago. They brought her back from the dark world or whatever they call it, the dark dimension or whatever. Basically, a place where Father James Mitchell, Abyss, some other dark characters that were not necessarily part of TNA at any point are there as well, and some other people. But the main thing was this was a long cinematic thing they did under the ring to bring back Allie. So Allie's back. She's, of course, with Rosemary because she's coming from the that evil world or that dead world, that demonic world, whatever they specifically call it, but we know what it is. Or if you're an anime Dragon Ball Z fan, she was at HIFL, Hiffle. Dragon Ball Z fans get it. Or Dragon Ball, yeah, Dragon Ball Z fans get it. Dragon Ball GT, whatever. Y'all get it. But so that was a big thing. She had a match. She's back. So now they've air younged her and brought her, resuscitated her. So that'll play into the coming weeks and, you know, win the knockouts division. And that'll be an interesting thing. Also, ODB, for old school TNA Impact fans, is going into the TNA Impact, well, the TNA Hall of Fame. I think it's a well-deserved nod for ODB. She was there for a lot of the beginning, and it's quite a character for those who were watching. But yeah, so that was the important things, I think, from what we hadn't already talked about. There's some other things I won't say, I didn't say wouldn't important, but they'll kind of be mixed in with what we're doing as far as, you know, championships and different stuff like that. So Nick Namath on Impact defeated Bear Bronson from the System. So the System has a lot of people kind of around what's going on, but not necessarily part of it. After the match, we had Rich Swann in the back. He's having a title match against Santana that night. BDE, who's kind of like he affiliated with, he asked him to stay in the back because he doesn't want any distractions when he wins like he feels like he's going to win. I wanted to throw that out there because Rich Swann is a guy that kind of turned his life around, and Mike Santana's giving everybody a shot that he feels like deserves a shot, which I respect him for. Some TNA champions didn't do that. Some do, you know, some, you know how it goes. Depends on if you're the face or the heel or the tweener. He's clearly the heel right now. There was a point in the match where Nick Namath was surrounded by the System. When that happened, Casey Navarro came for a distraction. Ryan Namath rolled his big brother back into the ring. Bronson got blindsided with a super kick and a danger zone, and that's how he lost. And then there's a thing brewing between Casey Navarro and Ryan Namath because Ryan says that Casey is trying to take his spot as Nick Namath's little brother. So it'll be a heel turn somewhere in there. We'll see how that goes. Elijah had a concert. Playmaker just told you how concerts normally go. But this was Frankie Kazarian in an Elijah disguise. He was going to sing Kaz as my daddy. As he got ready to sing that, the lights went out. What a shock. And when they came back on, of course, Elijah was choking Kaz with a guitar strap. And
why
guitar strap match? And then he sung Frankie Blows. So EC3 returned. He had a match with Eric Young last week. Eric Young hit him with a chair. It was the Undead Realm, y'all. I apologize. I said those stuff. They call it the Undead Realm for TNA. Just to get it the correct title. It just popped in my head. I'm one of those people. Sometimes stuff just pop in my head. So EC3 was happy he got hit with a chair. He says he didn't come back for matches. He came back for trial by combat. And that Young is the perfect participant to test him. So EC3 is coming, Eric Young. Why you want to go after that psychotic Eric Young? It's beyond me, but hey, it's your thing, EC3. Your auntie's not in charge anymore, sir. So Tessa was angry about being taken to the undead room. Mila Moore and Victoria Crawford were also taken. Victoria was happy that Ghouls flirted with her. Tessa explained to him that it wasn't a joke and that it changes people. Tessa wants a match against Rosemary in the undead room. Excuse me, she wants a match next week, not in the undead room. Excuse me, I misread the ending part of that. So she wants a match against Rosemary next week. Not a lot to say about that. Not a lot to say. Dutch and Matt Hardy. Dutch is one half of the, of course, the what's their names? it escapes me for the moment. But they are the team that is all up on the Hardys to get those championships. The Righteous, that's it. I don't know if somebody from Tampa just popped to be the Righteous. So Dutch, of course, won a match. That's no surprise. All right, then Xia Bookshy betrayed Li Ying Li. And so Xia turned on Li Ying Li last week. Xia accused Li of playing mind games on purpose. Xia also claimed that Robbie Brookside never supported her career. She said she did everything alone. She said Li knows how it feels to be alone. All that stuff. And then Li apologized. Xia accepted the apology. And then flashed a nasty face and attacked Li Ying Li again with a DDT. So they're setting up a big match for used to be friends. Xia Brookside, Li Ying Li, with Xia, of course, being the bad guy because Li Ying Li is going to be the good guy. Alana Black defeated Katie Arquette, the sister of David Arquette. Don't know why she was in a wrestling match. Mustafa Ali is the international champion. And they did a randomizer and landed on Australia. So Adam Brooks gets the title match next week against Ali. All right, then we had this part of the system crying backstage. Barry Bronson was mad about losing, said he'll correct the mistake. Cedric Alexander wants another title shot at Leon Slater because he lost to him at the Rebellion, but then he beat him last week. And then he says you can't beat the system. Then we have Mike Santana and Rich Swann. And Mike Santana won. It was touted as a match of the year. I actually watched, and I'm going to say it's a little bit of a reach. It's doable, but it's a little bit of a reach. So we're going to roll with that. We got a few comments here. If I can get this thing moving. Benny Boone said, she's fine. We were together the next day. Laugh out loud. This next one here is from my guy, Ryan McCarthy. He says, chapter deal now.
I cannot get away from that. Not even on Mars I can get away from that.
Hey, man, you was hard on him. You was running around Chapo Bill. So, you know, you always knew it was 50-50. Or you should have known it was 50-50. And then McCarthy says, anyway, what's happening, fellas? What's going on, Ryan, man? Good to see you checking us out. Appreciate you tuning in. And then he says, the House for Infinite Losers classic. Yeah.
I love that comment.
So,
because I can hear Ryan actually saying that too.
I believe it. So we are going to venture over to All Elite Wrestling and do a little bit of a Dynamite. We'll cross over a little bit, just a tad bit, a teeny tiny tad bit. Into Collision. So, you know, Jericho, I understand, been going back and forth. You know, they had a few things to say to each other and everything and all that good stuff. So, Ricochet, of course, comes out this week, running his mouth like only Ricochet can do, with the demand. Oh, sorry, I put my fingers together. The demand. The weirdest sleeping factions ever, just by name. And
I forgot their fastest name until you said it. Got dirty. I was not trying to remember.
So he comes out, he's talking trash to Jericho. Yeah. And then as he's talking trash to Chris Jericho, you know, Chris Jericho tells him to come down to the ring and, you know, whatever, they get into a little altercation. He tells the man to stay back, but the man comes to help him once he's getting a mud hole stumped in him and walk dry, which is what they're supposed to, is what they get paid to do. And then Chris Jericho the next week's talking about, oh, you always have me at a disadvantage, blah, blah, blah. So he says, you know, Chris, you have no allies. You have no one that wants to fight with you. So Chris Jericho says, they don't have to like me or want to fight with me. They just have to dislike you more than me. So I'm not gonna tell you any stories. When Chris Jericho said that, I was like, I like where this is going. And I did like that. I did like where that was going. So we see later, he's coming out of the locker room. And then who's in the locker room he's coming out of? The Hurt Syndicate. And we know the Hurt Syndicate has no love for the demand. So I like that they kind of slid that on in there. The long-term storytelling. You know what I'm saying? So then they to have a match. The match was on Collision. We know who ran the match. I mean, I ain't even gonna play with you. We know who ran the match. It is what it is. There's nothing that can be done. Champ is who they want it to be. So, important points from AEW. Darby Allin, who last week won the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Biggest shocker of my life. I'm not going to pray. In the worst fashion ever. My man got punched in his gonads. Then he decided to punch our champion at the time in his gonads. So apparently somehow Darby Allin's gonad punch was so much stronger than MJF. MJF was just writhing in pain. Darby Allin gives him a coffin drop from every corner and then pins him. That's how the second reign of Maxwell Jacob Friedman ends. So if it were not for me saving for WWE, this would be a bit of a rant. What is going to turn into is this. Tony Khan's back on the powder, heavier clearly than before. He's having apparently, you know, thunderstorms and hurricanes together of tornado powder. You know what kind of powder I'm talking about. Why in the world would you have the match in that way? I don't even truthfully have a problem with Darby Allin as champion, besides the fact that he's tiny. But the fact that you had the audacity to do that the way you did, all I can say is that's crazy. But Darby Allin comes out. He has his little match. And he beats Ciampa. After the match, Ciampa talks about crazy. This dude's crazy. After the match, Ciampa says that he's found his other half, and it's Darby Allin, his wrestling other half. After he won the match, Brody King came out to challenge Darby Allin next week. Of course, Darby Allin accepted. Maxwell Free, MJF, of course, marched down to the ring. Wants the world title back. He ended up having a confrontation with Kevin the Jet Knight. And that'll be next week, their title match. Now, it ends up later on in the show, or on Collision, I forgot which one it was, that MJF was like, I want my title match. And then Darby Allin said, if you want a title match, you got to put something online, MJF. Kind of like you did with Hangman Adam Page. So that's where that's going. So hopefully, I'm going to say hopefully, maybe in a, I'll fight you for the championship. And if I beat you, Hangman can challenge for the championship again. That's what I would like to see. Me personally. Samoa Joe made his return. They are adding Anthony Bowens to the squad. Hook's been out recruiting. They're going to end up adding Anthony Bowens to the team. They got to replace Powerhouse Hobbs. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense. There were some challenges made. Cope challenged FTR, double nothing. There's a 10-man tag team set for Collision that was set up that night. Alex Windsor is still after the Triangle of Madness. And the Jet interrupted MJF on his way to the ring. Well, Darby Allin did on the ring, but the Jet interrupted MJF and they had the match set up. So some things happened. I would say not too many things, but some things did happen on Dynamite Collision. Excuse me, now we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we will be back.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green. And the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Live every Tuesday at 8. 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on YouTube and where you can find podcasts. Whether it's the men's college game,
the way that this season has been going, anything is possible.
The women's college game,
and how passionate Angel Reese was at that press conference. They got their mojo now.
The WNBA.
AJ Williams, Twitter 1 and 2, followed by Brittany Griner, Aaliyah Boston, Jackie Young,
or the NBA.
The Lakers had a 0.8 chance of winning.
The winning.
LeBron James by himself.
You will get any and all of the information right at your fingertips or your earlobes. Join the Playmaker as he breaks down all things basketball in Shooting Lights Out on the Playmaker's blog, network, YouTube channel, and where you can find podcasts. Join the Transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, so we are back in the building. Playmaker. Mm-hmm. We still have part of the releases to talk about. But before we get to those, anything from Raw or SmackDown that you would like to discuss?
So we knew Soul Rick was on Monday Night Raw because she interrupted the new Women's World Champion Liv Morgan. They had a match, and Zaria screwed her out of that match. So Liv Morgan won that match, but made so we could go 0-2 for the week.
Yep,
great start, WWE. When it comes to Soul Ruka, great start, tremendous start.
Well, you know, she's half black, so.
That's a great start. How wonderful. Our boys are back.
They are. Wrong music, but they're back.
I mean, that's the music they know them for, so.
Here's the problem with that, though. You took months upon months getting new music that actually was a lot better. I'm going to be 3 bucks with you, $5 with you. That new music was fire. This music here, it's all right. And they're back to that, though, because, you know, just to be honest, they're more happy and less serious, and that's what they like from their certain tag teams. Stop right there.
I ain't expect them to be the ones to help Seth Rollins, though. Did you?
I didn't expect them to be on Raw, period.
So we are in agreement on that one. So, anything else noteworthy happened on Raw? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
So we knew Roman Reigns was going to be the world champion coming out of WrestleMania. And then we did hear him say he was going to be around all SummerSlam. So, let me get to see the Trevor Chief, most likely already up until SummerSlam, which is most likely where he'll lose the title and go off on his sabbatical. The question we was wondering was, how would this reign go than the last one? And before we could get a good day in of Roman Reigns, seeing Roman Reigns as champion and practically the bloodline being back together, Mr. McCain, who surprisingly, and I do mean surprisingly out of nowhere, popped up on Raw.
Five, two, That's who popped up.
Jacob Fatu comes out. He says, "I don't want that title." Murmuring is like, "Well, the thing is you're here to acknowledge me." No. I need that title. I'm not here to be tribal chief, but I need everything that the tribal chief has. And he already threw it out there. Of course, Roman doing the whole, "I'll give you my answer in a week." And then
I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no.
But try to talk to the Usos, and so we can talk Jacob Fatu out of this, because I don't think he can handle the burden of being World Heavyweight Champion. But Fatu's coming for the world title. And you want to even further evidence why he's coming for the world title? Let's go to SmackDown. The Usos came out. They tried to talk to Fatu. They said what they said. He said what he said. Then the MFTs came out. So we started talking. Tama even had some words to say. Words that got Solo into a match with Jacob Fatu. To the point where Jacob Fatu not only beat Solo, he also beat the other four members of the group outside of Tala Tonga, because he was absent, peculiarly absent. With Solo on the outside of the ring laughing with a smile. Was he laughing or was he smiling?
He was laughing and smiling.
Well, he was destroying the MFTs. So, yeah, Tampa, Florida, get ready. You'll be seeing Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns as your most likely main event of the evening.
And just so you know, Roman Reigns is not losing his first title defense.
Oh, he's definitely not. So
this might be a way to get Jacob in the bloodline.
Yep. So we have that. Since I went to SmackDown, Fatal Influence has arrived.
Have they, boy?
First, they decided to destroy a tag team match between Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, and who they were going against again?
Paige and
the Bella.
Brie Bella.
The women's tag champs.
Yeah, Brie Bella. Nikki's the one that's hurt.
Yeah, so you know. They decided to break that up. And then that was just the first time you got saw them. They also decided to put a 3-on-1 beat down on the new WWE Women's Champion Rhea Ripley. One hell of a debut, Fatal Influence. I give you that. One hell of a debut.
Definitely made some noise.
And even though we have had conversation about one Raheem Cody Rose, I must say, Friday, Mr. Rose, I enjoyed your promo. I definitely enjoyed the promo.
I did.
No, I
enjoyed the promo too.
Easy to find, hard to beat. Well, yeah, I can rock with you, Cody. I can rock with you on this one. But you did show up on Raw out of nowhere too. And you and CM Punk had a nice exchange too. So inquiring minds are wondering, are we going to see a Cody Rhodes CM Punk storyline coming about?
Inquiring minds All you had to do was pay attention. Of course you are at some point. You just don't know when. Because part of the play that Jimmy wanted Jacob to run was to go after Cody and not Roman. And Jay was just like, "Is you ready for it?" Oh. Jimmy was smart. Jay was a high head as usual.
I can see where you're coming from, but I think on SmackDown it was more Jay was like, "All right, you ain't gonna listen to Jimmy. Let me talk to you then."
Yeah, but still high-headed approach.
And then, actually, no, that's all I care about from this week of wrestling, because the list has been the biggest talk about from WWE more than anything that happened on Raw or SmackDown combined. And I do mean combined.
We were here earlier. If you see this not live, but later on, just want y'all to listen to me. Hear me. The Motor Freaking City Machine Guns, legends in Ring of Honor, legends in so many wrestling promotions, legends in TNA. They come to WWE. They start off with a World Tag Team title, SmackDown World Tag Team title win early on. And then nothing. Why? Well, so we can have a feud that lasted way too long between the MFTs and another team I'm going to talk about in a minute, the Wyatt Six. So you have the nerve, Paul, to cut tag teams when your tag team divisions are hot, melted, nasty, 95-degree doo-doo and trash juice mixed together. The tag team divisions. The tag team champs on SmackDown right now are Damian Priest and R-Truth. They're not even a tag team. And they're the tag team champs. And they try to sell it to us fans. Oh, they get better every week. If they ain't even good together, how the freak is they tag team champions? But you take a real tag team, an established tag team, a tag team that you pushed to the moon when they first got there. In a year, you've released them. You know what this is? This is an indictment on Paul and his staff that you couldn't get your stuff together enough to have your real good tag teams, the solid workers, the veterans, the guys who don't mind putting young guys over, helping guys, come up and get better. They can't win championships but one time when they get there. But the MFTs and the Wyatts can hold the belts for, 5-6 months together between the two? They have this huge feud over them.
And a lantern.
We're going to say the lantern for when we get to the Wyatt Six. Yeah, we're going to say that for that. So I'm telling all of you veteran tag teams, if you're out there from other promotions, you didn't cut your teeth, and WWE, stay the fudge away from WWE. Because this is how they're going to do you. It wasn't Vince. This is a company thing. Paul is doing Vince 2.0. And this is garbage. This is hot doo-doo sauce. There is no reason why the Motor City Machine Guns shouldn't be tag team champs instead of being kicked out of the WWE. Released. Not only they released with the likes of Andre Chase, Alba Fire, Zoe Starks, Santos Escobar. That's a disrespect to those men. So I'm telling you, tag teams, listen to me. If you did not cut your teeth in WWE, do not go to WWE, because you'll win one championship and then you'll be gone in a year. And TKO has made it so. So this is what we're getting. Now, any thoughts on the Motor City Machine Guns before we get to the Wyatts?
Disappointing. Very disappointing. It's disappointing to the fact that y'all could use Motor City Machine Gun in the whole comedic stunt with Johnny Gargano right now.
And why is Johnny Gargano still there? So I'll throw that out there. Now let's go to the one that pisses me off the most. Uncle Howdy Bo Dallas took on the mantle of the leader of the Wyatt Six because of the death of Bray Wyatt, his brother. They're called the Wyatt Six, kind of a play on the words on number six, but there was only five of them. They started on Raw as this unstoppable force. Then they were a stoppable force and they got traded to SmackDown. Here's the problem I have. And I'm not yelling today because I want to make sure that everyone understands why I'm pissed. You came out, Bo Dallas, Eric Roman, Dexter Lumis, Nikki Cross, Joe Gacy. They all had the interviews explaining why they're in the Wyatt Six, for what reason and all that. Thought that was fantastic. Way to do them after the intro. The problem is WWE, and Paul specifically, does not know how to deal with supernatural factions or wrestlers. They don't have to be around all the time. But you have to understand, when they're around, things like their lamp getting taken by Solo Sikoa and L for months, that can't happen. You're saying in story that the lamp has this supernatural power from Bray Wyatt. And you mean to tell me Uncle Howdy gonna let Solo Sikoa's silly butt and his little team of misfits take it from him and keep it? So they're supernatural, but when they're in the back, the lights can't go out and it disappear. When they walk into the ring, lights can't go out and disappear. You can't think of any of those other ways for them to get the lamp back besides having Tama Tonga give it to them. You know what I said at that moment? They gone. But I did. I said they all gone. Because you didn't even win back your most precious possession from Bray Wyatt. It was taken from you. And that's how you wrote them, Paul, TKO, and who the freak ever else was part of this garbage whole program, writing everything. They can take the breaks. The breaks are not the issue. It's when they come back and they're still doing the same thing. The feud with the MFTs was way too long. It didn't need to be all that. They should have had opportunities to fight better teams, but oh, there aren't. What happened to the Street Profits? They was gone for a good minute before they ended up on the other show. The tag team divisions are not right. And you have this big faction. You don't have any monster factions or any factions that don't, they're not scared to go up against them like the Bloodline or anything, right? I truthfully want to say a lot, but what I'm going to end with is simply this. Paul, TKO, Creative, the Wyatt Six, the Motor Machine Guns, Apollo Crews, and Kairi Sane. No. Apollo Crews, not Kairi Sane. That's on y'all. Aleister Black and Zelina Vega is on y'all too. You know why? Had you put them in meaningful storylines and gave them something to do, they would push merchandise and they would still be there. But you decided you was going to bring back Aleister Black and Zelina Vega and basically had them take the place of Karrion Kross and Scarlett. And honestly, they didn't even come across as menacing. There have been successes. And I won't say that there haven't been successes since this whole Paul being in charge and TKO taking over. But what I will say is I'm seeing a lot of misses with this as well that I'm not used to from WWE. I'm not used to WWE having so many misses. I'm used to them, you know, missing on a couple of things, but not to the level that they are now. Starting and stopping, not finishing storylines, releasing people in the middle of runs, you know, bringing a group in, building them up, and then releasing everybody a couple of years later. If you would take the time to pre-plan out what you want to do with these, especially groups when you bring them in, right? You may not have the exact opponent, but they're going to have a few for 2 months, maybe a few for 3 months or so, but we're going to get to the main pay-per-views and we're buying off these feuds. But to do that, you have to be on the main cards for PLEs. And guess who doesn't show up on PLEs? Wyatt Six, the Motor Machine Guns, Aleister Black, Zelina Vega, Apollo Crews, Kairi Sane. Consistently. I'm so disappointed in just usage for guys. Remember when they started doing the 4 matches, sometimes 5 matches at PLEs, and I started complaining. This is why these guys, Wyatt Six, Motor City Machine Guns, Apollo Crews, Aleister Black, Zelina Vega, Kairi Sane, these are the people who suffer when you do that. Because these are the people who get lost in the cracks, and these are the people who get let go. You can't tell me any of those people did not come in and do their job to the best of their ability with what they were given. But what you can tell me is they were not given true opportunities to get over in their roles, be successful, sell merch, and get more spots on TV. Except for Kairi. That's the only one on this list you can say that about. WWE, Paul, y'all have got to be better. Fans deserve better storylines from multiple characters. What if you're a fan of the Wyatt Six? What if you kind of feel the vibe that they have and maybe you understand where they're supposed to be coming from? Now they're just gone. So there's a void that nobody else can feel that you have on the roster. Right? Understand what you're doing. You're trying to give a product to meet as many different groups as possible. Had the possibility to tap into a whole nother, the kind of slightly scary thing with the whole Wyatt Six. Instead of bringing another member and making it a real six to beef them up and make them better, what you do? You cut them. Great job, WWE. And I hope the people that are cut, some may get brought back for less money, but probably not most, maybe none at all. I hope you guys are going to have great success outside of WWE and show WWE what they're missing. Because there's a lot of talent on the screen, and WWE should be ashamed of itself. I'm not giving y'all anger. I'm giving y'all real. I mean, there's nothing really else to say. You're going to regret what you did. It is what it is.
And when they may guess, is Julia next? Can you just have her just drop the title to Tiffany Stratton like it was nothing?
You never know. This is probably going to be more cuts. This is just the first wave.
But let's get out of here. Monday Night Raw's on.
Y'all go watch your baby. Y'all like it raw. And we will see y'all back next week. We got 2 comments. Man, we'll be all right. And we will see you guys next week. Same bat station, same bat time. One more shout out to the homie Chris Bass, man. We're going to miss you.